Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. Diving into some of the wide receiver tiers here, we have the implied odds now in there. So both the top 24 and basically the double top 12 hit rate. So, and that's implied by the market. So again, I talked about this a little bit in the running back tiers. And if there are questions, do ask, because you know, this is kind of new, this is different, it is trying to be helpful. So I do think, you know, there's some questions that have popped up in the Analytics Dynasty GroupMe chat, and I would say, I'd echo something I've said in a prior episode, these numbers are dumb, for lack of a better word. They don't know some of the interactions, so that might look weird at different spots. I think there might have been a snafu in the data. I fixed it that was causing like a weird look at a couple of players that just looked really odd. Those things might still occur. So that would just be a cautionary thing that I would say. And these are supposed to be a guide, right? This isn't precise, and they're relatively ignorant of the specific player. The density, or what I call the dynamic density, knows essentially three pieces of information. It knows your draft round, it knows your hits to date for a given threshold, and when relevant, it knows your experience. And so for a wide receiver that has hit for the threshold, so if it's if it's measuring a top 24 density or base rate, it's measuring your top 24 hits and your draft in the NFL, and the number is just meant to say, here's the percentage of these players that have been in a similar situation that have hit again. Okay. And then the top two, the two top 12s is essentially the same thing, but just measuring a different thing. So for example, if you are a top 12, if you're a second round wide receiver, you've hit once for a top 12 seasonal finish, it will tell you what's the odds are that it happens two more times, right? What players historically in that subset of second round wide receivers who have hit once for a top 12 season, hit two more times for top 12 seasons. That's what that number is meant to represent. So that is, it does not include what age you were, which is critical. That's why I've sort of put in experience progress to give you an idea of some of the, you know, let's just keep the guardrails on these things just to get an idea. But one of the things that I think is really important is when these numbers are strange or when they're different, that's something we really need to think about. When they're generally in line and they'll be in line with some of the market data, that's one where you could say, okay, like now I think we have a pretty good idea of where we are at, right? We have a pretty good idea that this is about the right valuation. When we see a different implied number for the market than a dynamic density rate, for example, you should say, well, why is it different? Devontae Adams is a good example. He's number one. I'll just use him. He is 42.86% dynamic density to produce another top 24 seasonal finish. And the market implied number is 78%. Well, why is that? Well, he's has five hits. He's a second round wide receiver, and he's arguably the wide receiver. He is the wide receiver one for arguably one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. He got a little bit of a late start because of the track of Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb. So that puts his dynamic density a little bit behind what you would expect it to be. But we sort of know he's kind of locked in that role. That's something that we should think about. You know, and that's a situation where I think you move more towards the market number than you would the dynamic density, for example. The flip side is when you look at like a top 12 seasonal finish, the market's implying basically a 50% shot. The dynamic density is measuring a 25% shot for that threshold. And when you think about that, you might say, okay, the market's pretty aggressive up at the top in terms of him being up there as wide receiver two. That's very high. You know, 50% shot at multiple hits. Is that number measuring someone that's a little bit younger historically, right? Again, we're using, you know, this is just a regression, so it's not specific to the player, it's specific to the player's cost. So you might say, okay, there's a situation where, man, it seems like a lot, like it's a 50-50 shot that he hits basically, you're kind of measuring 2 out of the next 3 seasons that he hits for a top 12 seasonal finish. Is that a coin flip, right? Or is it closer to the 25% that we have for a dynamic density, right? Which is basically players similarly situated in the past in terms of draft round. Now, them, that prior is going to be lesser of a draft range, right? That's probably not an average wide receiver too, in terms of RDP. So that's kind of how you balance it, right? So you have to make a little bit of informed judgments. When they kind of line up, that's good confirmation, right? That gives you a pretty good idea. When they're a little bit disjointed, that's one where you say, huh, okay. And then you can go back to sort of experience progress and sort of use that as a tiebreaker. And then your own common sense, right? There's, I talked about this in the book. Basically, I think you can use kind of the numbers of, if you wanted to sort of say, hey, I want to put my own thoughts into this, right? Sort of come up with the base rate. You can sort of blend the two, right? See which one you think is right. You know, come up with your own value judgment. That's what this is meant to do. It's meant to give you the tools to make these decisions kind of when they're complex, right? These are complex decisions. So here's a multiple different ways to look at it. Feel which way you feel comfortable, whether it's maybe you just average the two of them out, right? Maybe you say, all right, I'm going to weigh the market a little bit higher up at the top, and I'll weigh, you know, density rates a little bit lower at the bottom. I might weigh density or base rates a little bit higher for guys that haven't hit, for example. That would be something that I think would be actually a pretty interesting thing as sort of a stylistic choice to do would be maybe the market overreacts to the young guys, so we're going to sort of regress a little bit harder towards the base rates, right? These are individual judgments we have to make, and I do think that sort of as we think about them more and more, it'll become clearer, the situations will become more apparent, sort of how to think about these and maybe individual cases. And I do think the market treats young wide receivers, for example, more highly than probably the base rate should suggest. Okay, so that would be, you know, one thing, you know, for an example, just you know, as an example, just to put some concreteness to this, for example, the market's implying a 56% hit rate for Jerry Jeudy. His dynamic density 39.6. And you can say, okay, right, so that's a pretty good chunk above where he's at. When you sort of compare that to Jalen Reagor, Jalen Reagor's almost essentially at his base rate, right? He has that same 39.68% hit rate, a density rate, you know, base rate, and then a 44% market implied number. So you can say, okay, at that cost, right, that's fair. There's probably some upside on the Jalen Reagor number, for example, that is 21.9% to top 12 seasonal finishes. The number there for Jalen Reagor, the implied market number, 11.18. So again, that's probably an example of, hey, he's got maybe a little bit more of an upside profile than he does, than it is just straight hit rate, right? If that, you would say, hey, maybe that hit, if he hits, it's probably going to be a little bit higher of an arc of a hit. That's kind of the way that you should, that I would think about it. You know, some of the older guys, similarly, you know, there's less sample out there at those. There's a smaller sample size when you get further out towards the multi-hits, right? So Keenan Allen's numbers look a little weird because Keenan Allen doesn't have a lot of comps out at the round three, you know, significantly dense hit rate. And so when you sort of are looking at that, that's kind of, there's not a lot there. So maybe you discount the density rate and regress a little bit more towards the market number. So that's kind of how I would think about it in terms of all of those. So I'll just go through real quick. And again, I am recording a tight end one as well, so you'll sort of have that information. But there's some specific players that we maybe should think about. Robert Woods, the fundamentals of the base rate stuff like him more than the market does. Again, he's a little bit older than you would expect his track record. So again, that's probably something to do with it there. But in terms of his profile, might be an interesting one in which you say at wide receiver 24, he probably looks a little bit more advanced, maybe something like in the later teens in terms of hit rate. So that would be one that I would think about. Again, it's a question of that. Do you want to pay that price for a 29-year-old receiver? That's a little, you know, that's a question you have too. But I do think in terms of that price is probably, especially if you can do it in a trade market, that price is probably pretty nice. A couple other ones here. Tyler Lockett, he's a 77% density guy, and he's a 46.7% implied hit rate. He's coming off a wide receiver 8 season. Again, I don't know how you don't take the over of that. So that would be one I think is pretty interesting. Odell Beckham Jr., again, he's up in the 70s. Again, these numbers are kind of dense. They're not, they're not really attuned to Odell Beckham Jr. specifically, but he's a 72.2% dynamic density, and he's only a year and a quarter behind his experience progress. So when you say that, you look and you say, okay, he's at a 47.8% implied number. That's probably an indication that, hey, maybe we should wait a little bit more towards what his profile is and away from that density number. So again, 53.8% top two dynamic density. So that profile is pretty good. And so when you're thinking about that, that's one of the higher ones in terms of him being a multi-hit guy going forward for elite seasons. Again, he is older. That's a caution. But that is something I would think about in terms of his profile. There's probably a little bit more juice on there than he's given credit for. Again, you can sort of check these out. And if there's specific questions, I can do that. Again, be careful on some of the outlier stuff. The guys with low pedigree have really weird-looking density rates just because they're mold breakers. So I'm looking at you, Tyreek Hill and Stephon Diggs. They have zero comps out at their age. Four top 24 seasonal finishes. Not a whole lot of comps there, right? Not a whole lot of comps out at the multiple double hits out at that age. So, or at that draft range. So that's same with Michael Thomas. Looks a little weird with 0% chance of dynamic density. Well, he's on kind of a Hall of Fame track to start his career. So that's kind of why he looks a little bit different. So those are some examples there. I think the market's pretty on point with Allen Robinson, right? So his numbers match up pretty interesting, which is interesting. Amari Cooper continues to look like a discount, right? 50% chance of two top 12 seasonal finishes. I take the under on that just because he's got 5 top 24s and only 1 top 12. So I'd take the under on that 50% number. But 76.9% dynamic density rate, and the market's implying a 63% hit rate. So again, that looks a lot more like, that looks a lot more like a top 5 wide receiver than it does a wide receiver at 20. So that profile is pretty, pretty darn good. Some more out here, Mike Evans, similarly 71% dynamic density. That looks a lot like a top 10 wide receiver, and he's being valued at wide receiver 18. So again, that's not the end all be all, but his dynamic density, 53.85%, that's pretty darn good. And he's basically, that's of the top 12 variety. And he's hit 7 times to start his career, 7 for 7. 3 of them have been top 12 seasonal finishes. So again, you sort of look at that and you're like, all right, that is a pretty solid, shot there, of getting a top 12 when you are getting a hit there. So he's pretty good on that end. Some other guys here, the numbers on Kenny Galladay, a little out of joint, right? It's he's got, as a third round guy, 2 hits, 90% of those guys go on to 3 hits. So that's actually a pretty good indication. He's, at 28 years old. So he's going to be a little bit older than that number. And the market is significantly lower on him at 57%. So that's one there. Tyler Boyd continues to look like a buy, 84% dynamic density. You're getting, the interesting part is it's only a 3%, top 12, and the market's implying 16%. So he's one that you say, okay, it's probably lower ceiling, higher floor than maybe he's getting credit for. Maybe sort of value him more in a wide receiver three tier, which is kind of where he's at price-wise. So that's an interesting one there in terms of his numbers are pretty far apart, but I'd probably get closer to the market implied number than some of his density stuff. So the I would say as sort of a general rule, some of the younger guys here, there's some weird stuff going on. So DK Metcalf is being overpriced by the numbers. That's not really a surprise. 78% hit rate implied, 68, just short of 68% is what his dynamic density is. So again, that's basically 2/3 of guys go on to hit from the second round. They go on from hit 1 to 2. So that's really what that indicates is that's his profile. The market really likes him. Justin Jefferson, the market really likes him as well. Again, that's a similar one-hit wonder rate. He's at about 68%. Metcalf is just less than a point difference there. So that's basically the one-hit wonder rate. Is about 32-33% for the top two rounds there. So that's really what that's indicating. And the market is pretty confident on those guys and implying, you know, between Metcalf, Justin Jefferson, and CeeDee Lamb, 50-49-41% chance of two top 12 seasonal finishes going forward. So again, I would probably give me the over on that on Justin Jefferson. I think it's fair on DK Metcalf, and I'd take the under on Lamb. One player that this is a sell situation for me, the market really likes Chris Godwin. I not so much. So four seasons, one hit to date. Again, it was a nice hit, but behind experience progress, situation's murky. It's not a wide receiver one on his team. Market's implying 34% chance of two top 12 seasonal finishes. His dynamic density is 18.18%. Give me the under for sure on that market implied number. The market likes Terry McLaurin more than the base rates. I think there's reasons to sort of think of him a little bit higher than he is. He's been valued basically a year and a half ahead of that pace. So that's one that I would certainly be a little bit more bullish on, closer to the market number. I think that wide receiver 12 valuation's fair. DJ Moore is basically being valued similarly. Again, the problem is only 9% top 12 dynamic density, right? Only 9% of the guys his situation have hit for two or more top 12 seasonal finishes for the rest of their career. Market likes that for 35%, 34.5%, just short of 35%. So that's a pretty significant difference. So the market likes him basically almost four times as much as the dynamic density numbers do. So his higher floor, lower ceiling is really your projection there with him. Do you want to pay wide receiver 13 price for it? That's fine. I don't think the difference is all that much between, you know, wide receiver 18 and wide receiver 8. It's maybe a couple tenths of a win. It's not that big of a difference. So, again, you're buying a lot of floor there. So those are really the guys in there. Cooper Kupp, the market likes slightly more than the numbers do. They're similarly situated in terms of the top 12 numbers, which is interesting. And so those are the ones there. I'm just looking down here at some of the other guys. I think I mentioned Judy before. Ayuk, the market really likes up above his base rate. That's justifiable. 30 wide receiver 35 last year. Didn't play all the games. Kind of crummy quarterback situation. Looks really good. That's kind of why the number's a lot higher. So I sort of get all that. One guy, N'Keal Harry's down at 25.49 dynamic density. So basically a quarter of those guys hit. The market's implying a 17% hit rate. So it's not that different. It's higher than we probably would otherwise expect. The market's implying only a 2% top 12 ratio. And it's an 18% there for the dynamic density. So the market's is much closer in terms of that lower end than I am. I would probably take the under on the market number of 17%. Some of the guys in the second round tier, it concerns me. Basically 50-50 shots essentially on LaVisca Chenault, Debo Samuel, Michael Pittman, and then Denzel Mims is slightly less than that. That seems like a lot, considering their dynamic densities are 32, 22, and 22.6, 32, and 32. That's a little bit much there in terms of what I would expect. That's basically projecting almost one wide receiver more than you would expect. The density hits out of that range. That's a little bit much for me. T. Higgins' market really likes basically twice as much dynamic density in terms of that market number, more than two times the top 12 number. So the market's really bullish on him for sure. And he's in that developmental hit that I talked about in the book. So that's a positive track. I would just say wide receiver 13, if you miss this year, it's going to go down quickly, I think. That's a dangerous valuation for someone that's not, doesn't have doesn't have a place to hang his hat other than a wide receiver 28 rookie finish. Some other guys here, just looking down. The market really likes Gabriel Davis, Darnell Mooney, Darius Slayton, way above the dynamic density rate. So I'd be careful there. Those are some spots I'd be careful. You know, I am at wide receiver 48. I'm definitely viewing Gabriel Davis as a pivot play for sure. Same with Darnell Mooney. So those are really the big situations that I see. One guy that's down here a little bit further that intrigues me just as an off chance, maybe he lands in a better situation, is Josh Reynolds. So way down the line there. This is going to be, it'll be updating too as the data moves around. We'll incorporate it. I won't update it every day as the RDP moves, but probably once we get a batch or whatnot, every week or so, it's not going to move that significantly like day to day, but every week or so I'll have the RDP updated. So if you see it a little bit different on the site, that's probably why. I just haven't, done it. I usually set like a weekly calendar to do it, like every Monday or whatever. I have a whole bunch of stuff I do for the website every Monday at 9:30 a.m. Like that's kind of my time to do some website stuff. So that'll probably be when it falls in. So if you see a little bit different number, you can sort of gauge it based on the tiers. So all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embrace the variance. We'll talk again very soon.